Okay. We finished the book of Romans, and I told you back a couple of chapters that I would come back to the conscience. We will not cover it exclusively. We'd be in it for weeks. But I just basically wanted to go back to remind us how important our conscience is as Christians. But remember back in Romans, hold on for a second. I think I wrote all my scriptures down except for the one I need now. Okay. Back in Romans, remember we talked about the weak conscience, the non-essentials, how some were weak, some were strong. Some Christians felt they couldn't eat meat, drink wine. Some Christians felt they had to observe certain holy days. Some couldn't. And we talked about these were issues that Paul talked about were questionable for the individual. It was something the scripture had not basically spoke clearly on, or the weaker Christian did not understand scripture at this time. And so he made allowances. It had nothing to do with the moral sins of lying, cheating, stealing. This, your conscience will always smite you unless you are a reprobate or unless you've hardened your conscience, an unbeliever or a backslider. So he was talking about questionable things, and he called them weak. And why did he call them weak? Because he said their conscience was weak. So we want to find out some things about the conscience. Back up, and I'll just give you a few things. And then as we go through the scriptures, you'll see some of these come to light. Okay, basically, what is our conscience? Basically, it's a part of us. It's a part of, you can call it your spirit. It's the part of us that communicates or makes us, to one degree, able to communicate with God. It's what makes us not animals. It's what makes us on the level with angels or creatures that can make decisions and choices and be called into account for these choices. So that's the part of us that we are in the image of God. We are beings that can make moral choices. And to be able to make moral choices, we have to have a conscience to a great degree. And to be held accountable, we have a conscience. To be brought into judgment, we have a conscience. To be saved, the conscience comes into play. So the conscience basically is a part of us. It's a part of us being human. You know, it's a part of that spirit-soul area of us that often is not clearly defined. Again, we have the capability, another part of us, to communicate or to worship. And this, again, is a part of a human quality that's given us. That is not given to animals, you know. We can think things out. We can think and reason objectively. We can think and reason in symbols and names. Animals cannot do this. You know, so again, this is the part of us that is makes us lower than the angels, but in a sense in the image of God. When Adam was created and before the fall, he still had a conscience. And his conscience was pure and holy, and it was in perfect agreement with God. Yet he was limited in knowledge. And basically when he preceded Adam and Eve, to get knowledge the wrong way, something happened to their conscience. And sin entered the picture. And we see Adam and Eve's conscience immediately doing something to them. And they had no laws. They had no written things. They had a few verbal commands from God. But remember, once the fall took place, what was the conscience? And we look at the conscience as being the human part of us, where God, in a sense, gives us an inner knowing. It's an inner law. And again, this is something that even demons have, angels have, you know. And it has to do with what? It has not only to do with knowledge, but it has to do with making decisions about knowledge. And so the conscience, we will call it the inner law for us because it tells us something. It informs us of something, you know. And we will see that the conscience has flaws and the conscience has qualities that can be added to it or taken from it. But basically, the conscience for us as humans, it knows right from wrong. It passes a decision on what is right or wrong. But see, the conscience, again, is not absolute. It only makes decisions, and this is another thing about the conscience, it acts according to what it knows. So we can see that it can only act according to a certain amount of knowledge. Now it's interesting, when Adam and Eve, she confessed that she knew before she sinned that she was told not to eat the fruit. So she was already telling us that her conscience had been given knowledge and truth. And later on she tells us that the devil tricked her. And she acknowledges this. He's caused me to forget. And see, that's what he's a master at, isn't he? He played with the truth that her conscience already knew. And something happened. She made a decision to go against what her conscience knew. For whatever the reason. And again, what was the reason? It was an enticement. It was a lie. But again, it was based on something that she was interested in. She wanted to what? Know. She wanted to know more than she knew. And the devil convinced her of what? That God knows when you eat of this tree of knowledge and good and evil, you'll be like Him. Knowing things like He does. And see, evidently God did not want them at that state. Knowing certain things. He was testing what? Obedience. So she proceeded to get knowledge. And to do this, she sinned against God. So again, she broke a law. And immediately we see the command was, in the day that you eat of this, you will die. But see, she still was enticed, but I want knowledge. So what was she striving to do? She was striving to acquire something, and the devil so allured her and caused her to forget, like he does many people, that she acted on this, and later on her conscience told her she was wrong, and she knew it. So she acknowledged what? The devil caused me to forget. Forget what? What I had been told. That my conscience and what the Lord revealed to me was, you shall not eat. And see, her conscience knew this. And see, that's the danger when you have truth and you want to play with it. And you want to reason with truth. And something you'll find about conscience. And see, what acts on the conscience often was the law. And the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, they're absolutes. And they basically declare things as they are. They make evaluations. And see, we're seeing that she ate thinking somehow she was going to acquire this knowledge, not remembering she was going to suffer consequences that God had told her would happen. And you notice the immediate results of Adam and Eve's transgression was they hid from the Lord. And remember when the Lord come in the cool of the day, evidently He did this every day. And He came to meet with them. They proceeded to hide from Him. And He asked them what? He said, where are you? And knowing very well where they were. And they said what to Him? And what did they say? When He asked them, where are you? Yeah, because what? He said, we are naked, and we are, you know, we are shameful. And what did He ask him? He said, did you do, you know, what I told you not to do? Did you eat of the tree? And they said, we did. Well, what made them afraid of God? What made them shameful for God? Their conscience. Their conscience was enlightened. They did get knowledge, you know. But what did the knowledge get them? It was unlawful knowledge. See, again, and actually what sin she proceeded in, a lot of people forget, is she also entered not only the sin of pride, wanting to be like God, she entered the sin of covetousness. What is covetousness? An abnormal or a strong desire for that which is not lawful. It goes beyond bounds. She went beyond what? The word or the law or the command of God, and sin entered the picture. And then what happened? Something in her, something in Adam said, we're not right. And God didn't come up to them and say, you're not right with me. They knew they were not right. And He asked them questions, because their conscience began to slay them. Their conscience said, be afraid of God because something's wrong. And they had a right to be. And then we see God's judgments and His provisions made for them. So the conscience acts according to what it knows. And the knowledge can be limited. So we will see that in itself will not excuse people. What does the conscience do basically? And this is for the unbeliever and the believer. It basically accuses, convinces, judges. Okay, they're very close. Or It excuses, approves, or bears witness to. We can use another word, it confirms. So it still does what? It declares a decision. It makes a decision. It evaluates things on the principle of right or wrong. And when we talked about that, basically this is what the law did also. The law had no ability to do what? To forgive or cleanse. Neither does the conscience. The conscience must be acted on. But it in itself cannot forgive sin. It cannot cleanse. It can only declare the position. And see, it's important we know this because those under the law, God used the law to deal with their conscience. And then when it did slay them, they went for what? Sacrifice. They paid the penalty. They were chastened. Or they paid the price, which was to offer an offering. Why? Because the law could not forgive them. It could only tell them the truth. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing. When people are saved, He convinces them of what? Sin. And how does He convince them? Through their conscience. See, He tells the conscience. And what does He use? The word of truth. So He enlightens a blinded or a weak or a deceived or an ignorant conscience and gives them what? Truth. And then they see. But it still does not what? The Holy Spirit only convinces first or convicts. And when they accept His evaluation, then He points them to what? The blood. And when by faith they respond to God's evaluation and they accept His evaluation and God's judgment and God's sacrifice, then He does what? He Himself acts upon man's conscience. And we see He starts to cleanse it. He starts to enlighten it. So we'll see what can be done to the conscience. Here's a few things. It can be hardened or made sensitive. It can be blinded or it can be enlightened. It can be seared or it can be cleansed. So we're seeing that that itself shows us that the conscience in itself is not pure. And that the conscience's knowledge and ability to pass judgment is limited according to what it knows. So we can see it's different with different people. You know? And again, we see through Scripture that God will judge according to light, according to what the conscience of a person knows. I'll give you one quick example. When God, in the parable, remember the wicked servant. Remember when He gave them all talents and told them, go out and produce some things and bring me fruit. And when He comes back and He calls them, what have you done with this talent? And remember the one with five produced five more and the one with ten. But this guy did what? He hid his talent, his one talent. And what did he not do? He did not produce anything. And it's interesting when he comes to God, and actually he adds to his sin, he accuses the king of what? He said, I knew that you were a hard man. You know, and I know that you want results from things you've not planted or sowed. And it's interesting the king's response to him. And he basically said, out of your own mouth I will judge you. He didn't defend whether he was hard or not. From his perspective, he was not. But what was this man's evaluation of God? You're hard. And notice he acts on that. He says, you knew that I was hard. What was he telling him? Your conscience had knowledge, and the knowledge it had of me said that I was hard. So if you knew I was hard, if you believe that to be true, whether it was or not, what was God saying? I'm going to judge you according to that knowledge. He says, then if you knew I was hard, then you should have figured out when I come back, I was going to expect an increase. And what does he say to him? You wicked, lazy servant. And he said, what? Cast him into outer darkness and take his and give it to the other man. But notice God's judgment on him was according to the man's evaluation, according to his conscience. But see, it was a wrong evaluation. But still, God acted on it. He didn't excuse it. He didn't explain himself. He says, you are judging yourself out of your own mouth. You're saying, I knew this. And he was saying, well, this sounds the reason. If you knew this, you knew when I came back, I was not going to excuse you. And see, the man had what? Nothing to say. See, he thought by accusing the king or the master, he would put a guilt trip on him. But it did not work, did it? He simply called him a wicked, lazy person. Why? He bore no fruit. And he said, cast him out. But see, he judged him according to the conscience he professed. And even what the man professed was not true. But God says, you knew. You know, this is the light I will judge you for. Because you knew I was hard, then you should have produced something. You should have put my money in the bank and at least drew interest. Something should have been, because you knew one day I was going to call you into account. And if you knew I was hard, then you knew I was not going to let this slide. And he didn't, did he? And so again, we see that that's where it worked with him. So again, we see that the conscience is simply a part of us. And it is not a perfect guide by itself. It can be flawed. But again, from God's perspective, until light comes, until He reveals more light, He does evaluate and judge people often according to what they've been given. And this again is grace of God extended in every covenant. See, He hasn't changed. He extends grace in many covenants. And we see under the law, He did the same thing. He allowed certain things and He forgave many things if the process was done right. And even under government and under conscience and under patriarchs and so forth, this was God's way. And He will always, and at the final judgment, He will judge people according to their conscience. He cannot pass sentence on them otherwise. And their conscience one day will do what? God says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Where? In heaven above, on earth, and beneath the earth, the demonic. He's saying every demon, every wicked person will acknowledge when God judges him, their conscience will tell them this evaluation is true. And whether they get into heaven or they go into hell, they will go knowing truth. See, they will be enlightened. It just won't save them. It won't be saving truth then. But see, this is what the great judge is going to do. Okay, Romans 14:22. That's where I wanted to start. Remember, we finished a few weeks ago, and I told you I wanted to come back to this. 14:22-23, remember the whole chapter? He talked about those Christians who felt they couldn't eat certain meats, they couldn't drink wine, they had to observe certain days. And Paul says, and other Christians didn't feel they had to do this. Some of them came out of Judaism in Rome. You know, they had come up and they were converted Jews. Some of them were Gentiles or the nations, and they came from various backgrounds. And the Jew still understood certain ordinances, and some he kept because he wanted to, and some of them because they still weren't enlightened enough, questioned whether they could just stop doing certain things. So it was better for them to do what they do. You know, and so Paul proceeds to say, well, you know, allow this. You don't judge the weak Christian, but you don't let him judge you either. But you don't be a stumbling block to each other. You know, you don't encourage a Christian if he tells you something's questionable for him. You don't try to talk him out of it. You try to give him scripture and allow the scripture and the Holy Spirit to enlighten him. Otherwise, you can tell him, hey, you don't have to do this. And you can make him sin, the scripture says, and cause him to stumble. Even with what he's doing is not wrong. But if he believes it to be wrong, the scripture says it's sin. Remember, it said the law of the spirit of liberty is what? You only act according to faith. You do not presume. See, a lot of people's, they're calling their faith presumption. But see, they have nothing to back it with. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of the Lord. And that comes by knowledge. And that comes by truth. And you'll see they're all involved here. That our conscience is very important. Okay. Do you have faith? Or if you have faith or have your faith, have it to yourself before God. And here, faith is assurance. Happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves. What's going to condemn him then? Or not condemning? What's going to condemn his conscience? Or give assurance? You know, it's going to be truth, but it's going to be the conscience that's going to do it. See, his conscience is either going to say this is right or wrong. Do this or don't do this. And he's saying those who are more mature, they can discern more quickly where they have liberty. You know, but those who don't and have not been enlightened, and we see the conscience is to be enlightened, it's to mature, then they understand the non-essentials. They understand their liberty. They understand. But it's based on what? Not presumption. It's based on truth. Their conscience has been lightened according to truth. What we're going to see, you're going to find that the conscience often is not only faith, but you're going to find the renewing of the mind. See, the mind is that part of us basically that receives knowledge, even mental assent, information. All of this comes into the mind, you know. But the conscience has to evaluate this, and the conscience will act on what it's given. And if the Spirit of Truth makes the word a rhema, if it's a prophecy, which we say is what? Inspired utterance. If it's the word of God, enlightened, whether it's through preaching or teaching or prophecy, this does something to the conscience, and he gets light and information. And then his mind is renewed. He has what? More liberty. He knows right from wrong. Why? Because truth has come in. So see, the conscience of the Christian is to grow, but it cannot grow without truth. And it cannot grow without the influence of the Holy Spirit making truth alive. See, he goes past mental assent. Okay. But he who doubts, or he who has questions about what he does, and does it is what he means, is judged or condemned. What condemns him? His conscience is what's going to condemn him. He's going to feel what? Uncomfortable. The conscience is going to disturb him. Why? Because he's guessing. He's not sure. You know, his action is not based on what? Knowledge. True knowledge. Therefore, God says it's sin. Then don't act. So what is God's evaluation? When in question, don't do something. You know? And if you do it, and you're playing a guessing game, God says it don't matter if the thing is sinful. You've already sinned. See, because you presumed without knowledge. And you'll study Scripture. You know, one day maybe we'll do this. The sins of presumption were judged swiftly by God in the Old Testament. Remember the priest of Aaron, his sons offered ordinary fire on the altar, and fire killed them both. It says, for they presumed. And remember, God says, for everyone who approaches me must be holy. See, they presumed to come before the Lord the wrong way after he told them what to do, you know. And it's believed it's because they were drinking. And because right after this, the Scripture says when priests were ministering in sanctuary, they were not to have any strong drink. So it's sort of implied maybe they had too much to drink, and their reasoning wasn't very sound. And see, we saw the same example with another. Proud people are often presumptuous, or presumption produces pride often. See, it's ignorance again. It was the fall of Lucifer. He presumed what? Five times he said, I will ascend. He started telling us what he was going to do, and God basically said, you're not. See, he presumed to do something and acted on it, and God did what? He did the opposite to him. See, it wasn't faith, you know. Remember the king Uzziah, holy man, righteous king, but he got puffed up in his walk with the Lord, and he decided to go into the temple and make an offering, which only anointed priests could do. Remember in the old covenant, there were only three people who were anointed, basically. Prophets, priests, and kings. If the Spirit came on you, you were one of the three. You know. And basically that was the form that was done, you know, under the old covenant. And so basically we see what? He went in, and 80 priests withstood him, the Scripture says. And they told him, you're sinning. And they told him, you're presuming. You're taking an office that is not yours. Get out. And it says he got angry with them. See, his pride, his presumption. And it says while the anger came on him, the Lord struck him with leprosy while he was angry at the priest. So why? Because they were doing their job. They were telling him, God will not honor what you're doing. They warned him. They says, you'll bring destruction or uncleanness. And immediately, when they see the leprosy on him, the Scripture says the priest started pushing him out of the temple, and he started running. See, because they all knew God would kill him in a minute. You know, and the Scripture says that was his only main mistake in his life. And you know, he died a leper. He was never cleansed of his leprosy. And his son or nephew had to rule in his place. But it's interesting, that was his only flaw. Isn't this interesting? See what pride did to him and the consequences. See, again, this was presumption. You know, this was presumption. Yet Solomon did something similar and God honored him for it. Because it wasn't a sin of presumption. You know? So again, God judges according to light. So whoever doubts or is not sure is judged. Because he does not eat from faith. And again, assurance here. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Now see again, faith here is not presumption like a lot of faith people teach. It's not stepping out into the dark. No, you only step out into the dark when you're given the word to step out. See, this was what Lucifer, this is what Satan tried to get Jesus to do up on the mountain, on the pinnacle. He said, jump. And he quotes the scripture. God will give his angels charge, and they won't let you dash your foot against the stone. But see, the great thing was, God hadn't told Jesus to jump. And he knew. He said, you shall not, he answered him, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. See, why? What would he be testing God with? The sin of presumption. To assume something that was not true or he was not sure of. And he would not do this. See, Jesus acted perfectly on what God told him. And he presumed no further. And see, when he tried to get him to turn the stones into bread, the devil attempted the same thing. Act apart from God. If you're the Son of God, he knew he was. He knew he could act. And he knew he had been not eaten for 40 days and he was hungry. And he says, if you're the Son of God, what was he saying? Prove it or use it. And make these stones turn to bread. Well, see, evidently Jesus was told to fast. And he did not eat, and he knew it would have been wrong for him. And once he finishes the test, it's interesting, the angels come and feed him. He still does not do what? Use his divinity. See, he could not. He had to yield as the servant. He had to yield as the man submitted to the Holy Spirit. See, he was the perfect servant. And see, so even then, he waited for God. But see, so what was Satan trying to get him to do? Be presumptuous. Step out. You're God's child. He'll protect you. See, this is not faith. This is stupidity. And see, this is what a lot of people are pawning off as faith. Grab a scripture and run with it. You know, they'll just claim this one little scripture. And they don't put it in harmony with all of scripture or what God has revealed to that person. See? Again, they're trying to use a magic formula thinking it's going to work. It does not work that way with God. Okay, so he's talking here again. He sets the stage even for the Christian. The weak conscience and the strong conscience, he's saying. Okay, go back to Romans 1. We haven't been there in a long time. Before people come to the Lord, we see the conscience in action. Look at verse 18. We'll go down to about 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. If you were to back up a little bit, the word they suppress it. If you go back, it implies that they do have a certain amount of truth and they don't respond to it properly, but they were given it. So see, their conscience was given something at one time. And because that what may be known of God is manifest in them. What does it mean, manifest? Brought to light. What is brought to light in them? Their conscience. See, the inner law has told them something. This is even the unbeliever. This is the person, you know, every human that's born is given some light, given moral light to a great degree. Again, as Adam and Eve were given to a degree until they sinned. And notice what he says, for God has shown it to them. Okay, even when they didn't have written laws. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are what? Without excuse. And notice what it says. Because although they knew God, at one time they had light, knowledge, they did not glorify or honor him as God. They did not submit or obey. Nor were they thankful. But they became empty in their thoughts, foolish in their thoughts, and their foolish spirits were darkened. What was darkened? Their foolish hearts. You know what that is? Conscience. Their foolish conscience was what? Hardened. So we see when people had conscience, at whatever level, whether it was a child and they grow up, they were doing something. When they start acting against their conscience, then they can pervert their conscience. Then they can do something against that light. And it says, what did they do? They suppressed the truth. And there were consequences for this. But notice it says their foolish, you could say conscience, were darkened. And they're empty in their reasonings. That's what it says. They were empty in their thoughts, in their reasoning. Notice this is what happened to Eve. She began to reason. She began to reason apart from command, apart from law, and apart from conscience. And her reasoning, with the devil's help, seemed logical. You know? See, this is earthly reasoning. This is worldly reasoning. See? It can be demonic reasoning. It's that which the mind meditates on, which is not of God, basically, is what it is. See, it's earthly. Or it's in opposition to God. And he says, professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. What was Eve trying for? Wisdom. This was a tree that would give what? Wisdom. She would know as God knows, is what the devil told her. And basically the devil implied that God's hiding something from you. You know? Yeah, he was. He wasn't ready to give him something. See? And you'll see a spiritual principle here. Had Adam and Eve not sinned, then God most likely would have given them more light and more privileges. See, that's the consequences of obeying God, too. But they did not. So something happened, and their conscience was no longer pure nor functioning properly before God. It was darkened, it was poisoned, it was affected to a great degree. And again, God showed grace and made allowances even in that state. He worked with them, you know, in that state. Okay, go to chapter 2, verse 14. For when the nations who do not have the law of Moses, the commands of the law of Moses and its teachings, they by nature do the things contained in the law. What does it mean they do by nature? By instinct. See, instinct, spiritual intuition. What does it mean? It means that those who weren't Jews and didn't even have the commands. And these were some of people, I'll give you an example, Job. You know, possibly Melchizedek. They weren't given certain, but they knew morally they were not murderers, they were not liars, they knew this was wrong. They did not need no tablets to tell them why. The conscience let them know right from wrong until people started to sear it. And it says, by nature, it says that they do what's contained in the law. These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. What are they saying? According to the knowledge they had, and as they responded to their conscience, this was the law that would judge them. You know? And so people who did not have what Moses had still could walk right with God in the light that they have until they rebel and start sinning against their conscience. Okay? And it says what? Who show the work of the law written in their hearts. Who are these? People who don't have the commands. But where is it written? Okay, this is what then? He's saying in the conscience is the inner law. That God puts it there in man. You know? But again, it's a part of man. Yet God has given it to him. To be a judge. Until man sins against it. And does something to it. Okay? Their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts. What is it doing? It means it's approving their actions or telling them something, accusing or else excusing them. But what was he saying? Without the law, without the law of Moses, it was still capable of doing this. It told them right from wrong, you know. And I think it's interesting. I talked to a missionary years ago and from either South America or New Guinea or somewhere. And when they got in and they brought the gospel to people, and some of the people were saved, even before they had time to start teaching them scriptural things, the women immediately started covering their breast. And nobody told them to. And we see from generation to generation, they had gotten so immune that, you know, in many of these tribes, they walk around with their breast and it don't bother them. It don't disturb anybody, does it? But it was interesting. He said immediately the women started covering their breast. See, something was awakened, even their conscience, and without even knowing scripture about covering your nakedness and your shame, they spontaneously began to do this. So isn't this astounding? Take the same thing. Children. They say that children who are forced in these tribes to eat human flesh at one time always resist it when they offer it to them the first time. Children get squeamish about it, 4 or 5 years old, and they have to be basically forced to eat it. And then after they eat it a while, it don't bother them no more. But it is astounding that the child's conscience somehow tells him something's wrong and he don't know what. Or she don't know what. See, it's showing us that there is a conscience and everybody to some degree. And as our society and sin corrupts, it blinds it, it hardens it, it deceives it. And this is the process of what sin does. But notice he says the conscience will do what? Accuse or else excuse in the day. What day? The day of judgment. When God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? What is he going to judge them by? Their conscience. He's going to use their conscience in the process of evaluating them. Why? Because it's the inner law. Okay. Go to Ephesians 4. Okay, he's talking to us again, those in the past, and now he's talking about the Christian, and he warns him not to go back to the past. And notice what he says, Ephesians 4. Let's go into verse 17. We'll read of several verses. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you, okay, that's us, the believers, should no longer walk as the rest of the nations walk in the emptiness of their mind. Notice he used this in Romans 2. You know. In the emptiness of their mind, having no knowledge, no true knowledge of God or what's right or wrong. Having their understanding darkened. Okay, what's the understanding here? The understanding of their conscience is darkened. Again, it's been darkened somehow. Being alienated, separated from the life of God. Okay, the darkness, what? Sin separates. It separated Adam and Eve, and all of a sudden they were not at peace with God when sin entered the picture. You know, what does it do? Sin always separates. And the conscience tells the person something's wrong. Okay, and notice what he says. It alienates them from the life of God because, why does it do this? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Okay, this ignorance here is not excusing that like they didn't know nothing. No, the conscience once knew, but it was what? Darkened. See, sin does something to it. By either defying the conscience or sinning against it or ignoring it, you'll always do something to your conscience. That's why I warn people. That's why I warn people who go deep with God. The more they sear and go against their conscience, they're going to come under a greater judgment one day. Go back and look at King Saul. Go back and look at some of the people who walk deep with God, and then when they wore God's grace out, you'll see some drastic action come into play. Okay, and he says, because of the hardening of the heart, who being past feeling, what's past feeling? Their conscience no longer what? Feel. See, they become what? Insensitive. Their conscience cannot be pricked anymore. Basically, they sin with license. They sin and it don't bother him anymore. Read Proverbs about the wicked. He is not happy unless he sinned and caused someone to stumble. He's showing you the depths of sin and where it takes people. They can be evil. Look at people like Stalin and Hitler and Mao and what was his name? Genghis Khan. And look at some of the great. Study their lives. You'll find many of them had no conscience. They got past anything bothering them. See, the depths. They become demonic in a sense. They go so far in yielding to the dark side, if you'll have it. Okay, being past feelings, they have given themselves over to sexual immorality, all kinds of sexual immorality, to work all uncleanness with greediness. It means they're driven by their lust. They have no shame. Well, aren't we seeing that today? They're calling what? Evil good and good evil. We've got the harlots and the prostitutes. We have the women killing more babies than ever were killed in wars. Did you know women are worse murderers than men ever were? We used to hear from the women all the time. Oh, men always want to fight. And, you know, we ought to let the women rule because then we wouldn't have wars. No, but we'd probably have 10 times more babies aborted in a wicked society. So they're just as wicked. They're no different than the men. They murder just like men do. They just do it a different way. And they harden their hearts more. Men know what they're doing when they're fighting. Women lie to themselves and deceive themselves. So there's more hope for the men in war than there are for the women who abort their children. Do you know that? Okay. Just thought I'd throw that in. And notice what he says. With greediness. See, again, they have no shame. Now we have what? The homosexual wanting society to accept his lifestyle as being good and natural and from God. See, his conscience don't even bother him. And he believes it. And the fornicator, the man and the adulterer running out, they don't see nothing wrong with it. It ain't that bad. Everybody does it. See, they get to a place where sin adds to sin. Darkness adds, and the deeper they go, the harder it is going to be to get out of where they're at. See? And God says, what? These people are an abomination to Him. He said, those who call good evil and evil good. Now, see, we're the evil ones because we're not supposed to judge them. You know, they can do anything they want. We're supposed to say, oh, that's okay. See? That ain't God's evaluation, is it? Okay, but notice real quickly, it says, but you have not learned Christ. Who? The believer. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him. Why? The truth is in who? Jesus. He's saying, if you really heard God and you're His servant and you've been born again and you're following Him, you can't live this way no more. See, He's making it very plain. You better check out your election. You better check out and see if you're in God or whether you got out. Yeah. Whether you had the truth or whether you forfeited the truth and became disqualified. And he said, well, what? The truth is in Jesus. See, His truth enlightens what? The conscience for the believer. We'll see what it does. It does something to the hardened conscience. It does something to the darkened conscience. Yeah, God does do something. Okay, but notice what he says. That you put off concerning your former conduct when you were not a Christian. The old man, which grows what? Corrupt. He gets more corrupt according to the lying or deceitful lust. See, they eventually deceive him until he sees no wrong in what he does. You know, and many of our ministers give him a license to sin and say, well, you're under grace, so you don't have to obey God anyway. So these are false shepherds, lying ministers. You know, giving people a license to sin. Scripture never does this. It proves what they are. And he says, what? And be renewed, where? In the spirit of your mind. Okay, the truth's going to come in here, he's saying. And your mind's going to be renewed. And how is it going to be renewed? By truth. And what is truth going to do? It's going to enlighten your conscience. It's going to tell you things. See, that's why it's important that we know the word of the Lord. It's why it's important we obey what we're given. Because the Holy Spirit... Mental assent will not save no one, nor keep no one. You know? It has to be the Holy Spirit acting on this. And again, he must do it by what? Consent. Okay, go to Romans 12:2. We were there the other day, a few days ago. But I want you to understand again your conscience, why it's important as we grow in the Lord. And do not be conformed to this world... What we just talked about, those who don't know the Lord. But be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Okay, again, what's going to renew it? The truth that is in Christ Jesus. Notice the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. And He reveals truth. And the Word is truth. They agree, they're in perfect agreement. But they're to do something to us. It transforms us. What? By the renewing of your mind. Your mind begins to think as God reveals truth to it. It begins to evaluate. And accepts and receives. And see, the conscience is involved here. The conscience that is to be enlightened as we are in the truth. And see, it's what? That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How are you going to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God? What proves is your conscience. See, it's evaluating. It's given approval. By what? By truth. By what the Holy Spirit reveals to the conscience. So you see, it's very important. As we grow in the Lord, our conscience grows in knowledge. Always. See? It always grows in knowledge. But again, it has to act on it. It's not enough it receives the truth. See, Jesus said, good if you hear it, but better if you do it. So see, but it still has to be enlightened. Okay? Let's take a break here.